This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kennison and Noelle Lim. First, though, let's take a look at how markets closed last week.
Yes, just looking at the Asian markets, the Nikkei was up 2.1%, the SDI was up 0.4%. The marginal markets are Hang Seng. They're not marginal, they're huge markets, but they Hang Seng closed flat, are marginally higher by 0.04%. FVM KLCI closed flat, I think marginally higher by 0.03%. And the Shanghai Composite was down 0.2%.
And over in the US, it was a green day at the end of last week. The Dow was up 0.2%, while the S&P 500 and NASDAQ were both up 0.1%.
So for some thoughts on where global markets are headed, we're speaking this morning to Jack Cousy, Director of Strategy at VFS Group based in Sydney. Jack, thanks so much for joining us today. So the tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 has jumped ahead of the Dow Jones Index due to the stabilizing Treasury yields. What impact will inflationary expectations and Treasury yields have on big tech's growth prospects?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. You can hear me, right?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. No worries. Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, if the least place I'd be worried is for big tech if we start to see inflation or treasury yields rise. I know there's this big fear about their multiples, but if I want to be anywhere in an inflationary environment and interest rates rising or yields rising, I want to be in big tech. They've got plenty of cash. They've got diversified businesses. These are the places you want to be. These are a safe haven asset. And they can also raise money very easily on the market. And let's not forget, someone like Amazon went to the market in mid-2020 and the first billion of the $6 billion they raised was at a yield of 0.25. So they can access cash very cheaply and easily, even in a rising treasury yield. So I don't think big tech gets hammered as hard in an inflationary interest rate environment. It's your other companies where, you know, trading at higher price multiples and higher sales, that would be the environment where I'd be worried about, not in the big tech players, in my opinion.
Well, Apple's share price has been trading sideways for most part of the year. Do you have a bullish or bearish outlook on Apple this year?
Oh, you guys keep me on my toes. Is this about my core, about Apple being the greatest company ever? I think it might be. Look, it has gone sideways. I still think there's a lot of potential in what they're doing. Obviously, they've just gone through an iPhone 12. I think the market is reacting to their lack of media exposure or their streaming business, which they haven't really put too much effort into it. I still think their wearables is going to be a real shining light for them going forward. I think they've held up reasonably well in, you know, the last week and a half has been good for tech, but the last couple of months haven't. I'm still an owner of this, and I've always said about Apple, you don't want to trade Apple. You just want to own it. And I actually feel the way about most of those big tech names that we talk about all the time.
And when we speak about tech, Jack, US and China technology players continue to dominate the technology landscape. That said, though, are there any European companies on your radar?
Roshan, that's a really good question. And I actually don't even have an answer for you, to be honest with you. We talk about the global innovation hubs around the world, and you know Europe is somewhat being left behind. Now, I'm sure there are some fantastic tech companies that are coming out of Europe, and I get that. But I always say to investors, if you want to keep it simple, if we talk about the largest unicorns, if we talk about the largest tech companies, and we just talk about the innovation hubs and the centers of innovation in the world, then you really can't go outside of the US and China, and you know some of that Southeast Asian belt that's coming through. It's not an area that I look at very particularly, only because there's so much going on. What I will say is, I think European markets are setting up towards the second half of the year really well. You know, it seems like the virus is under control. I think UK is going to be a real big leader out there. And I also think you're going to see strength in the pound towards the back half of the year. So I think it's not a bad place. And this is probably the first time I've ever said this in quite a long time, to park a little bunny money in the European recovery.
Now, demand for resource commodities is skyrocketing and prices appear to be going through the roof down under in Australia, Jack. So has this piqued your interest in this sector?
Yeah, I mean, commodities are an interesting one. It's a very good question that you ask. And, you know, we just talked about inflation previously, and part of the inflation theory is the rising commodity prices. So, you know, things like zinc, copper, iron ore and steel. What we have seen in the last couple of weeks is a bit of a pullback on them. And what I look at is the futures markets, and they're trading in what they call backwardation. So futures prices are trading lower than current prices, which indicates the market's thinking, you know, there may be some ease to, you know, the transport costs with these commodities. It's certainly an area that we look at. It's certainly an area that we have some small exposure. In terms of Australia, you really can't go past your big miners here. BHP and Rio Tinto, so well diversified, do so many different things. But, you know, we are in the midst of a real tense war or trade war. Or I won't call it trade war with China. So, you know, they are keen to push commodity prices down because that's, you know, affecting inflation fears there. So definitely an area that we have some small exposure, but not an overweight exposure going forward.
Are there any tech names that we could look out for that are involved in resources and mining?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. I mean, what you tend to find here in resources is you get your small junior players who are looking for discovery, and you get your big players which tend to gobble up the small players. None that I can think of off the top of my head, unfortunately.
Jack, markets seem and down under seem to be a buzz over this potential listing of a fintech firm called Finder. What does it do, and does it fit the bill of a potential investment prospect?
Yeah, I haven't yet seen the valuation for a Russian. It's a really good question. So it's a financial comparison website. So you go on there and you look for the cheapest insurance, the cheapest home loan, et al., et cetera, et cetera. They are looking at some Asian expansion, which tends to add, you know, multiples to the IPO's listing date. But I talk about fintech hubs. Australia is, you know, in the middle of like a little bit of a fintech revolution here, led by our Buy Now, Pay Laters, which are Afterpay and Zip. So we've got a really good bustling area here with a lot of good innovation, a lot of good investments. It'd be interesting to see. I haven't seen where the valuation is, but, you know, it's all about valuation. And once we get to look under the hood, we'll give it a good look. But a great story from a great little part of the world here in down under.
Jack, before we wrap up, just one more question I have. And we're going back to big tech for a little bit here. So yep. Amazon announced last week that they're going to acquire MGM for some, I think, $8.5 billion or thereabouts. And earlier you noted when we were talking about Apple about their media exposure maybe not being as thorough as people would like. What are you thinking with this acquisition of Amazon's acquisition of MGM?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, there are a few things that I come to light here. One is, you know, forget big tech, right? It's not called big tech anymore. We should just call it mega gigantic, you know, all-encompassing tech. I think big tech is not the word you use for these guys anymore. And we talk about the horizontal and vertical integrations of these tech companies, and Amazon is a perfect example. Let's not forget that the last major acquisition before MGM for Amazon was Whole Foods, right? So they went from buying a supermarket to an entertainment company with a wall of media to add on to, you know, the Amazon Prime and then, you know, shop on your e-commerce platform. Now, in terms of the deal and what they're getting, I think it's going to be very incremental to the bottom line. But it's just another sign of, you know, there's no place or no corner of the globe or no area of finance or money where these tech companies can't go. What I will also say is that I haven't looked at the deal specifically, but I can tell you they probably overpaid. And they probably, you know, set this artificial increase in the market whenever these big tech players come in, because we talk about the enormous amount of cash that they have on hand. Now, I'm sure some of these, you know, medium-sized media companies would have liked to have a good look at MGM. But when Amazon comes in with, I think it's like $160 billion in cash, there's no competition. So, you know, they artificially push up the prices for some of these media assets, and I'm sure they did on purpose. So, yeah, forget big tech. Let's just call them something else, because big tech is no longer an adequate word for these companies.
Jack, thanks so much for joining us this morning. That was Jack Cousy, Director of Strategy at VFS Group based in Sydney, giving us a bit of a look at global markets. And big tech's a bit of a misnomer now, according to him.
Lynn, big tech is dead. It's now mega gigantic, all-encompassing big tech, or as the acronym shall now be known, MGAEBT. Yes, that's very catchy indeed.
Yeah, so
he does make a great point, right, in terms of how these companies are no longer just big tech, they're just big corporate, big giant corporations.
Yeah, it's a huge big K, right? A divergence between a really big tech and I don't know, what's the second tier tech company?
AEC, all encompassing corporations.
But also just taking a quick look at this story from closer to home. Now, all eyes are going to be on Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong this afternoon when he delivers a speech on Singapore's COVID-19 pandemic strategy. So in a Facebook post announcing the address, Lee said that the solution moving forward will involve testing, contact tracing and vaccinating, all faster and more. Now, Singapore has seen a bit of a spike in cases in recent times, which has resulted in the cancellation of major events like Davos and even the Shangri-La dialogue.
Yes, I think they've been clocking about maybe 20 cases a day, and I think about 30% of their population has been vaccinated so far.
So that's going to be happening later on this afternoon, so we'll also be paying attention to what Prime Minister Lee says. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.